Blog Talk Radio. Empowered Love with author, self-mastery coach, and relationship expert, Melanie Tanya Evans. Take back your power, heal your soul, and set yourself free. Free through Empowered Love. And now your host of Empowered Love, Melanie Tanya Evans.
Hi everyone, I'm Mel and welcome to another Empowered Love Radio Show. And today I've got a show that I think is really important because there are a lot of people, all people, absolutely, in the community that have gone through same-sex narcissistic abuse in intimate relationships. And I have got a same-sex, this is about a gay female relationship. And I have Yvette, when she came forward and shared with me that she wanted to share this story for the community, I was really thrilled because I've wanted a show like this for quite some time to help people. So Yvette, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story.
Thanks, Mel. No worries.
So let's get started about what your narcissistic experience was.
Yeah, look, I met my narcissist back in a time when I back in 2010. I'd just come back from overseas. I was living in the UK for a couple of years. I came back and I was sort of ready to meet some new people and get out there, and I just started chatting online. Actually, the narcissist approached me online and started chatting, and after a couple of weeks she suggested that we meet up, and I was happy to meet people, and I guess it started from the point. I still clearly remember the first date that went on, and I think the impression, it was, pretty full-on experience, just meeting someone who seemed so keen and interested in me straight away, I think it just left an impression that very, very keen. And she came across as very intelligent, very charismatic, obviously. And she, after the first date, she went away for a few weeks. And I was not really sure about things. I thought there's something about her. I don't know what it was, but I wasn't that keen. And she sort of pursued me from that point and sent me a postcard after the first, we'd only been on one date, sent me a postcard from her trip when she went away. And I think all that those little things back then, obviously they impressed me, and I went out again with her, and then quickly grew interested. I just, all of a sudden started becoming really, really interested, and quickly got into, found myself in her world, in the narc's world, and it never felt very comfortable, but it just felt this exciting, thrilling, being with this exciting person who was kind of really captivating. I couldn't really work it out, but I was thrown into it and was finding myself falling for this person.
Mm. It seems to be so consistent with all of us, didn't it, that right at the initial start, something didn't quite feel right, but we went there anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then just got incredibly hooked and enmeshed with these people so, so quickly. So when did you start seeing the red flags?
Probably after 6 months of, a few things before that, but I think the 6 month mark was a bit of a point where she told me a few things about herself, and I noticed a lot of behaviour, some behaviour traits were coming out. She told me she was in a lot of debt because she was using her credit card to sort of go out, we'd have dinners out, and, she was a medical professional, so I thought she just had a bit of money, but she was just, obviously, she was getting herself into a lot of debt, and she was also gambling online, and sort of drinking as well, and sort of these behaviours became more and more sort of obvious and over time, and then after the 6 months, I think the first sort of emotional blow was after a small argument, she decided not to talk to me for a number of days, just completely cut communication. And I think it just really struck me because I got sort of, it sent me into a bit of a spin, an emotional spin. I didn't really understand what was going on. Someone would just stop and not talk to me for a number of days with no communication. And that was that was just one of many times I was dealt that blow as well.
It's that real pull the rug out from underneath your stuff, isn't it?
Exactly.
And it can come at the slightest provocation when it happens.
Yeah, exactly. Something sort of small. And I just sort of made excuses for the behaviour too all the way because I knew that she had sometimes felt depressed. So I just put all her behaviour down to things. Like I just made excuses for her. For her behaviour. I thought, oh, yeah, she's depressed. I've got to be more this. I've got to change my behaviour.
How consistent is that?
Sorry?
How consistent is that?
Yeah. And I just, all these behaviours, I just thought, always making up excuses for her. And, it was not really until I'd come across your material that I'd realised that this it was sort of, you know, a lot of people would, you know, there was a name for it, what I was going through. So for 3 years, I went through this experience of feeling like, yeah, I needed to change my behaviours and help her and all that sort of thing.
So, you know, it really sounds like, to me, that the same-sex dynamic is pretty much identical to the heterosexual dynamic.
Yeah. And I think, it really felt no different. I mean, listening to all of your material and going through your notes and things like that on your ebooks and things, everything I could relate to, it felt like there was no difference for me. That's how exactly I felt. I mean,
I'd agree. And all the work that I've done with people that are in same-sex relationships, and it's an identical dynamic. The narcissist is doing what the narcissist is doing, and it's the, you know, the codependent other side of the coin in there, you know, we were doing what we were doing.
Yep, exactly. I was completely codependent and not realising that.
So how were you as a result of the narcissistic experience? How did you end up emotionally and in your life?
In a pretty bad way. I didn't realise how empty I felt inside and how codependent I was on that person, how empty, lifeless. I really felt like nothing, I think. By the end, I think going through that emotional roller coaster, I felt like nothing. Felt sort of soulless, I'd say, in a way. Just not in touch with myself and, yeah, pretty empty.
That's a really good description, soulless. It really does feel like our soul's being sucked out of us.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did you try to get well and recover?
I think after the final breakup, because we had a couple of breakups before the final breakup, I knew it was over. And then I think that week I spent on the couch and I was on an internet forum looking at information for partners of depressed people. I thought that would help me. And then after that, I thought I joined a dating site. I think it was only after a week or so of the breakup. I was almost to take my mind off things and, just anything to distract me, but nothing seemed to really work. I just felt exactly the same. I woke up every day just feeling really empty and not really sure why I felt like it was an incredible feeling of emptiness. I don't know, nothing like I've experienced ever in my life, this empty feeling of... And in one way, I knew it was obviously related to this narcissistic experience, but I knew obviously it had something to do with me as well. Like it just, never felt so low before in my life.
Gosh, can't people relate to that?
It's
only the people that have been through narcissistic abuse that can relate to that.
Yeah, exactly.
So when did you discover that she was a narcissist?
It would have been within those couple of weeks I was on the online dating and I'd actually met up with another girl and funny enough, she was a psychologist and got onto the topic. She was asking about my relationship and mentioning a few things and just maybe a few critical points. And the psychologist straight away said, oh, she sounds like a typical narcissist. And I sort of laughed and said, oh, okay, I don't really know too much about the psychology. Then she started explaining a few things. And then I went and had research online and it was incredible. I think just the relief I felt. And then I found your website came up too and I started looking at a few things and just felt really relieved that I could put a name to what I'd sort of gone through with this person.
I think that's so important, isn't it?
Yeah, that was probably a great relief and made me feel, a little bit better in a way. I mean, I still felt this emptiness, but gave me some sense of relief.
Well, I think we really sort of go, well, I'm not alone with this. This is so common and I'm not crazy.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
So what happened from that point on? Like when you knew that she was a narcissist and you were reading stuff that gave you a lot of validation, what happened after that?
I think reading some of your points about the no contact and the codependency stuff, I was working on that myself, but it was interesting that she made contact a few times and turned up at one of my meditation classes she knew I was going to. And all these things that happened, just having your backing and what you'd said to do just made everything completely easy. Like when she appeared and I gave her no energy and no contact really, it made life really easy for me because I think I would have really struggled if I'd had that contact with her and not had access to the material and how to sort of behave. Even though inside I was churning through all the emotions when she turned up, and I think just, knowing what to do just really, really helped me.
So you took it also to the energetic healing level. How long did it take you to do that? Or know that you wanted to do that? What was the story around that?
Looking at your program, after reading some of your material notes and I signed up an art program after about a week of reading through things and then doing some of the energetic healing I did sort of a healing every day from the NART program and just, instantly felt relief every day. I felt better after and did it sort of intensely for about 3 weeks. I wasn't working. So it was something I was just doing to work on myself and I just that relief I was feeling instantly, just knew it was the right way to go.
So what did you discover when you were working deeply on yourself? What did you discover that was the real core reasons and the core wounds that were going on inside you?
I realised I felt a lot of unworthiness, sort of lack of self-love, and the need to sort of always help other people and put other people first rather than myself. So I guess some of those wounds were, feeling unloved and not putting myself first. So a lot of things came up and started, my behaviour started changing. I was emotionally just putting myself first and just instantly I was working on myself. I think did a codependency checklist. I firstly ticked everything and then by the end I'd worked on basically everything and I guess my behaviours were changing, putting myself first.
That's it, which is what happens when we change it from the inside out.
Yeah.
So your family of origin, like, was your mum, was she codependent or was it your dad or...?
My mum has codependency as well, traits. I guess my grandma on my mum's side as well. She was this lovely woman, but always putting, sort of sacrificing herself for others. I guess my mother has those traits.
And that's so been the female model, hasn't it? That's what a good woman does.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's exactly how a good woman behaves. And yeah, to gain love, that's how you feel like you have to behave, to put others first, because then you'll be loved. Not realizing you can just love yourself first, and then you've got the energy to give to other people and so forth.
Absolutely. Then you're giving from the overflow.
Yeah, that's right. You're not feeling the drain. There's no drain there.
Yeah. And then the law of attraction part of it is so healthy that what you're going to get back is genuine.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's so, so good. So since you've been doing, since you've up-leveled, you know, what's different about your life now, or what's happening in your life now?
Oh, lots of differences. I just feel completely different to how I used to feel. And, I've just moved into state recently and decided, I've just sort of felt a lot of confidence to do what I want in my life. And just not felt reliant on others for happiness, just generating my own happiness and, as you said, the overflow of that, you know, I can share with other people, but...
That's fantastic. So, you know, when you think about the narcissist now, how does it feel?
Well, it feels like it was very a worthwhile experience in a way to go through all that and to, for my own benefit. To up-level myself, I probably would have still been really codependent. I can't imagine what I would have been like, just really codependent person. And not working on myself. I think my life would have been, not as rich and, I think it's been a good thing.
So how long ago was it now, the breakup?
So back in 2013, so it's been, two years.
Yeah. So is she, like, she's completely blocked, she's stopped
contacting? Yeah. So I put on blocks on my email, my phone, and because there was a few messages were coming forward at the beginning, and then I thought, just wanted to block everything out, and then, there's no contact there at all. And that she quickly sort of fell away once I put all the blocks there. There was no issue after that.
And it's so interesting, isn't it? Like when we really mean it and we're really anchored in that in our body, when the hooks are gone,
Yes. Absolutely, yep. It
goes away.
That's right. I think you've still got the hook is still there and it's going to keep appearing and because you've got some energy behind it. But now I have no energy around her or there's nothing... No addiction or anything there. It did take me probably a good 6 months to a year of really working on myself. And there'd be times, you know, even after the year, in the second year, that I'd have a few lapses where I'd feel something. And then it was an ongoing process of working on through the NART program and working on myself, meditation and yoga and things like that. That really, really helped.
Just a profound inner journey and connection waiting for us if we take that opportunity through this.
Yes, exactly.
It just changes everything. So have you got anything that you'd like to say, you know, to the gay community or who might be going through this stuff?
Yeah, well, I think it's, as I said, it's pretty much the same as any other relationship. I think you just realise there's narcissist in every form of a relationship you can come across them, but you can heal, and I think your NART program was really worthwhile. I think it was, nothing gave you that relief that that gave me, and to work on myself as well. And I think you can feel it, you know, you can start to feel really good about life again after you've gone through something like this, and I'd recommend anyone to do the NART program.
And I just, you know, and it isn't the only energetic tool out there. You know, there are other energetic tools, but obviously it is created specifically around narcissistic abuse recovery?
I think because it was so, like, the key points of addiction, because I had a lot of addiction to the ex-narc, and if the fear was very strong, the fear of the narc as well, but having those words on your healing really helped, I think, because I've just really tuned into exactly my emotions I was going through.
Yeah, that's definitely the intention of the program, to really, you know, get to these specific wounds and the specific things that I've discovered about narc abuse and recovery over the last 7 years. Because, you know, it isn't like anything else, narcissistic abuse. It's just a crazy phenomenon.
Yeah, exactly.
And it does take a little bit of untangling. Like you said, it took, you know, that 6 to 12 months of... And I think the really important thing is, you know, when we're getting that charge in our... We're getting that charge and that emotion and that hook or that addictive feeling, that rather than battling it through our head, to use the program to drop straight into our subconscious and find that young, vulnerable wound that was attached to that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That makes a lot more sense. And you can't really battle it in your head. I mean, yeah, it doesn't seem to work that way.
No, and that's a tough way to try and do it. It's really hard.
Yeah, exactly.
That never used to work for me at all.
No, I've tried it many times. It doesn't work.
No. Well, Yvette, thank you so much for sharing. And I think everybody can see from this that, you know, it is the same dynamic, but it's really, you know, wonderful that we get all segments of our community really represented.
Thanks, Mel.
And I just really love that you emailed me and said, you know, I'd really like to share my story with the community, and I'm gay, and I thought that was just fantastic, Yvette. So thank you.
Right, thank you.
All right, so. Well, everybody, I hope that you really enjoyed that show. And also, too, you know, if there's anybody out there that is in a same-sex relationship who you think or you know is a narcissist or you're trying to recover, by all means, on the blog, if you'd like to, I'm sure Yvette would be really, really happy to answer. Yvette is still there. You'd be happy to answer some questions from
people?
Yep.
That's fine.
Yeah, because it's just nice to have that support and know somebody else has been through it. So if anybody does come forward on the blog and wants to say hi to Yvette or ask some questions or get some help, by all means, please do that, and I'll be there to answer any of your questions as well. So, and also too, you know, on my blog and also too on this radio show link, you can find out more about the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Program. So that's it for me until next week. So bye-bye and lots of love, everybody.